This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from Honolulu, Hawaii, overlooking Greater Oahu. The lead stories are, China has the gumption to mock the president to use a Huawei phone. Talk about that. And of course, we got a big Apple event coming up, so some predictions there. We're going to talk about a major, major ruling that came out of the Copyright Office today, talking about hacking DRM to fix electronics. It's a big, big deal. And of course, I'm going to give you some tips on how to stream media from the Library of Congress. I want to welcome you to episode 1322 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, October 25th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, you too can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. I want to give a warm, warm welcome to all the new listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. And of course, if you're existing, you're part of the Ohana, a longtime listener and viewer, I am so glad you're still with me. Thanks for staying and being part of the family, being part of the Ohana here. And of course, again, for those of you that are brand new, all you got to do is get over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're on the website, all you got to do is subscribe to the show. It's real simple on Apple Podcasts, on Android, via email, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, or just a standard old RSS feed. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, how to subscribe to the show, just click on the more subscribe options. That'll get you dialed in here on how you can subscribe to the show. We are now, at this point, 14 years strong. This show started in early October of 2004. So we're starting the march towards 15 years. So I'm glad to have you here to be part of the podcast today. If you're listening live, thanks so much, of course, as well. Make sure you check in on the chat room. Of course, get to sign up for the newsletter as well. They'll find that link a little bit further down on the website. You can watch this show on the Apple TV. You can listen on blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart home device by saying the keyword to launch your device and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. Of course, we are live at live.geeknewscentral.com. We're on YouTube. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Twitch. And of course, on Mixer as well. So really, when we're live, you really can get me just about anywhere. You can join our chat room. That's a lot of fun. Our chat room is a Mastodon server at geeknews.chat, or you can join our Slack channel. To get be part of our Slack channel, all you gotta do is send me an email and I will add you to the Slack channel. That's a great way to do it. Of course, you can contact me via email, geeknews@gmail.com, if you want to on Twitter @geeknews. You can follow me on Facebook as well. Of course, once you're on the website at geeknewscentral.com, you can pay attention to the top of the website. We have the GNC Weekly that is launching tomorrow at gncweekly.com. Brand new show done by the primary producer, or the only, I guess, the executive producer of Geek News Central, of this show. Kirk has substituted for this show a few times. He is debuting his new show tomorrow. He still hasn't got the iTunes approval yet, so hopefully that comes, but don't matter. You can go over to GNC Weekly and grab the show. Of course, the Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site written by the writing team at progear.guru, the New Media Show at newmediashow.com, and Podcast Legends at podcastlegends.com. If you really love this show, you can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. This show, of course, is sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast in the podcasting space. If there was a Guinness Book of World Records for this, our good friends at GoDaddy would hold that record. They've been supporting this show since June of 2005. No other advertiser has been with a single podcast longer. And it's pretty incredible if you really think about it from the aspect of how long those of you been listening to the show, how long GoDaddy's been a supporter of this podcast. You can get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy to check out all the deals. And really, this is where you help us keep the lights on, insurance paid, the family fed, gas in the car, Everything that happens to pay the mortgage, all that stuff is right here. This is where you can help the show in the biggest way possible by sharing my codes with your friends, family members, people that you know. We're soon, you're going to start thinking about the holiday shopping period. So don't discount setting up an account for a son or daughter and getting them a domain name or getting them a website, getting something set up. Let them do some very cool, creative stuff. But all that information can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Whether it be a 30% off a new product purchase, whether it be a 99cent.com, whether it be $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain or $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. All of these codes start with CJC. And when you get to the GoDaddy checkout, you can enter these promo codes by entering CJCGeek30 for the 30% off, CJCGeek99 for the 99cent.com, CJCGeek1H for the $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain for the first year, $12, CJCGeek1W, again, $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain, $12, get you in the game here. Or a 1 month free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of business plus plans, CJCGNC free. Those are the codes to use when you get over to GoDaddy. These are the codes to share with your friends, family members, people that you know. Link them. Actually, come over to the website. Grab the hyperlink for them and share them on your social media pages. Share them on Twitter. Share them on Facebook. But more importantly, point people to the geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy page. That is as valuable as sharing a link or actually sharing a code directly with a friend on this show. So I want to thank you all for your ongoing support with GoDaddy. And I want to thank GoDaddy for their ongoing support of the podcast, obviously, and allowing me to do what I do and all the cool stuff we're able to do with the sponsorship money that comes in. Big, big planning in work right now. Obviously, CES is now starting to take up more of my time. We just got the equipment order in, so I'm ordering internet, I'm ordering the tables, ordering everything that we're going to need to do what we need to do. And something happened. I think we just went off the air. What happened? Every place this has a bad stream. Well, did the internet not, what's happening with the internet? Yeah, okay. I've got good input. We're live some places, but we're off on Facebook and, well, we'll just continue. Don't know what happened, but definitely the bandwidth choked. So not a good sign here. Huh. All right. Well, it is what it is. Those of you listening later don't care, right? You guys are good to go because you got the podcast on subscription mode only. that sucks. It must be the internet dropped. Well, it is what it is. All right, so let me get back to my stack here. I kind of lost my train of thought. Well, anyway, long story short here, this has been a week of catch up. I'll be honest with you, really, really, really bad jet lag. I've had it I don't think I've had this bad of jet lag in a long time, just having a very hard time getting back on schedule. Last night, I literally face planted by about 9 p.m., which is unusual for me. So probably, hopefully by the weekend here, I'll be a little bit caught up and feeling better, but it sucked. But lots of meetings. And, you know, it doesn't help when you wake up at, normally I wake up at 4:45, but I wake up 3:45, 4 a.m. And it's just kind of been the way the week has went, which kind of sucks, but tis what it is. All right, let me go ahead and get into the stack of stuff. I guess we're back online on most of the stuff, except for on Facebook. So we're still on Twitch, we're still on Mixer, we're still on Twitter. Okay, didn't fail. The rest of the stuff did. I think what happened there is I didn't finish the GoDaddy stuff. Anyway, geekniscenter.com/GoDaddy. All right. All right. Let me move over here to the content. And if you haven't been watching on Geek News Central, we've been doing a lot of work under the hood across the entire, all of the partner sites have all gotten some tweaks. We've been working on the actual server itself. Of course, you know, we did some work on Geek News Central alone. I wasn't completely satisfied with where everything was at. So we've gotten rid of a bunch of the old sites, a lot of the crud, refreshing some resources on the server. I'm really starting to see the performance come up. So we'll continue to tweak. It's been a learning in progress, and really trying to figure out some of the things that of recent that Google looks for. And we're starting to see traffic come back to the website from being in the penalty box. So I'm pretty pleased with that from that perspective. So anyway, just keep an eye on the website if you haven't been, and all the content that's being put up by our content writers as well is really helping as well, because I've kind of helped the team focus in on what's important in the content that's being put up on the website, and hopefully that is helping things too. All right, so let me talk just a little bit about China here. Yesterday, the New York Times reported that the president is still using his personal iPhone, which supposedly isn't secured up to the standard that you expect for the president of the United States. Although you think about Apple and their security, it's supposed to be pretty secure, right? The report mentioned that China and Russia are taking advantage of this and listening in on his calls. Well, China's come back and said, oh, we're not doing that. But they made a tongue-in-cheek suggestion that if the iPhone can't keep the president's calls safe, then maybe he should switch to Huawei. Hawaii, H-U-A-W-E-I. When I saw this, considering that that company has been long accused by multiple federal bodies in the United States that its products may enable Chinese intelligence to spy on users, this tongue-in-cheek comment is, to me, over the top. It's almost like they're saying, yeah, we're listening in. That's what it sounds like, right? It makes you go, Now, having had the job I had before, and having used secure phones before, I will say that that experience isn't as fun as you would think it would be. It's not always clear. It's not always, the tone isn't always the same. And I won't go much further than that, but it's not, you know, sure, you're secure, but it's a pain in the butt. And really, the only time the president would be quote unquote secure is if he was talking to another government agency, talking to someone that had a device on the other side that was capable of taking a secure call. And I'm sure that the White House switchboard takes care of all that. But if the president's talking to his friends, which would not have one of these point-to-point systems to be able to accomplish that, he would have to be talking on a landline or his mobile phone. And it's not going to be any more secure than you or I's phone calls, if you think about it, unless there's some special way that the government has got set up for the president to use a mobile device. But I don't know. I don't think so. You know? So it makes you go, just a little bit. But the whole China response, quite over the top. And, you know, double middle fingers to you, China. And if they are tapping his iPhone, as it's being suggested by the New York Times, if they're able to do that with the president's phone, then obviously they can do that with each of ours. That should be more eye-raising than anything else. So if China and Russia are able to tap the president's iPhone and listen in, then everyday conversations that you and I have with colleagues, company business, all that stuff could supposedly be listened to by China and Russia. That's the bigger story here. So if the New York Times is reporting the president is using his personal iPhone and China and Russia can listen in, then it's not a big leap, or it's no leap whatsoever, to make the deduction that I've just made. And I think from that perspective, we all would be like, it does make you wonder just a little bit, doesn't it? So what do you guys think? Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com with your commentary. Love to hear your thoughts on this, all right? Wrong way here. All right. So there's going to be a Mac event. It's going to be happening on the 30th at 10 a.m. We're going to have a show before that, obviously. So the night before, we'll have a show. But most of you will have not listened to the show by the time the event happens. So I just want to talk a little bit about what we're expecting. Obviously, we're expecting new iPads. They're going to be revealing, supposedly, a massively updated iPad Pro. So we'll see how that goes with the new GPU and so forth. At the same time, we're thinking about they're thinking there's going to be a MacBook Air sequel. So for years, Apple's been more than happy to leave its MacBook Air largely untouched. It got a minor spec bump last year, but it hasn't really been updated since 2015. But maybe it's time for a little bit of a tap on that. Also, maybe a Mac Mini for the pros. That's been rumored. So I kind of would like to see a complete refresh of the Mac Mini line. So we'll see if that actually happens. And what a pro really means. Does that mean a pro would be good for a programmer, for a graphics person? That's a good question here. But obviously the iMacs. The iMacs are the biggest ones. We're waiting on an update. My sister is in the market for a new iMac. I told her to wait. She's got a screen that's going weirdo on her. She's had it for a number of years, and it's basically seen its end of its life. I suggested to her, why don't you go with an iMac or with a Mac Mini? So hopefully she'll have some choices after the 30th. So probably no update to the iMac Pro. But definitely we would expect to see refreshed iMacs, and then of course, AirPods, an update there. So, they're working on something called AirPower. So time will tell if that actually happens. So just a few things some predictions for the next event next Tuesday. Are you guys excited? Are you waiting to buy anything? What's your plan? Love to hear your feedback. All right. In a groundbreaking decision, the feds say hacking DRM to fix your electronics is legal. This is huge. This is really, really huge. And this has been laid out there for a while. The Library of Congress and U.S. Copyright Office propose these new rules that will give consumers and independent repair experts wide latitude to legally hack embedded software on their devices in order to repair or maintain them. This exemption to copyright law will apply to smartphones, tractors, yes, cars, smart home appliances, and many other devices. This move is a landmark win for the right to repair movement, essentially, the federal government has ruled that consumers and repair professionals have the right to legally hack the firmware of lawfully acquired devices for the maintenance and repair of that device. Remember, previously it was legal to hack tractor firmware for the purpose of repair. It's now legal to hack many consumer electronics. Specifically, it allows breaking digital rights management and embedded software locks for the maintenance of a device or system. So this is good. This is big. This is a huge win on a federal level. This decision does not, though, do anything to address the practicalities of what consumers and independent repair professionals face in the real world. Anti-tampering and repair DRM implemented by manufacturers has gotten increasingly difficult to circumvent. And the decision doesn't make DRM illegal. It just makes it legal for us owners of a device to bypass it for the purpose of repair. And this is good. Now, if you think about it, as Motherboard reported earlier this month, Apple has built in a kill switch that can prevent new MacBook Pros from functioning if they have been repaired by anyone who is not an authorized, who is not authorized to do so by Apple. And it uses embedded software to do this. So now, this decision will make it legal to bypass that software lock by actually doing it. But actually doing it, quote unquote, is another matter altogether. So exciting stuff here. Very, very exciting. Big news. Big news. The folks over at Lifehacker have an article on how to stream free movies from the Library of Congress. So if you want to watch movies, basically this is a multimedia project that digitized the library's video collection, made it free to public. Available films blah, 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 are both fiction and nonfiction and span from 1890 to 1999. Now, the Library of Congress isn't Netflix. You won't be able to watch current Hollywood blockbusters and every season of your favorite TV show. You will find historical films and newsreels ranging from Depression-era documentaries to home videos to education series about mental health. This is awesome. All of the films in the collection, including those that are copyrighted, are available to stream on the Library of Congress website. Files that are in the public domain, which is most of them, can also be downloaded up to four formats, GIF, JPEG, MP4, and QuickTime. And to watch, you can visit the National Screening Room. You can sort by date, location, subject, among other categories, and learn more about each film, including download availability, once you've clicked on the title. So apparently there's 298 items in its screening collection. Plans for the project include adding new content every month. Very, very, very cool. Hey, I want to bring you guys' attention to one thing. And it's called jump to position. And if you're on Geek News Central, and this it takes Kirk sometimes a day or so to get back into the blog post from, so like tonight's show, he'll be able to edit it maybe tomorrow, maybe he'll get it done. It may take him a day or more. But if you go to, for example, episode 1321, and episode 1321 was entitled Uninstalled Phone App Tracking. And if you notice in the show notes, there's a new link. Well, it's basically a time hack. So every article that I covered, and this is not, see what happens is when Kirk puts the show notes together, he doesn't know the order in which I'm going to run them in the show. So he has got when he edits the list initially before I do the show, he does basically as he has found them. So what you'll see is at 12 minutes and 10 seconds, I talked about YouTube TV. And then the next entry down is at 22:10. You think, well, why aren't these sequential? Well, it's largely because, again, I go in the order I think that the content should be presented to you. But he's got the time hacks for every single article that I covered. And you can now jump to that position in the show if you want to re-listen to something. So this to me is very, very exciting and able to have this feature on the website. Hopefully someday we'll be able to have that so it's socially shareable, but it's much harder to do that. Maybe we'll get that in round two, but at least at geeknewscentral.com, you can click on the links and jump to these positions within the episode. So give it a try if you get a chance when you're on the website and looking at one of the older episodes. All right, moving on here. Samsung brand ambassador has been sued for $1.6 million for using an iPhone X in public. Wow. The Russian brand ambassador for Samsung is reportedly being sued for allegedly being caught in public using iPhone 10 or iPhone X instead of a handset she was supposed to be promoting. She was hired by Samsung to market its smartphones in the country. With the Russian TV presenter, journalist, and politician contracted to use a smartphone in public. Under the terms of similar agreements between companies and influential people, they are not typically allowed to be seen using competing products in public, a rule that she broke. And she used, and she was spotted using an iPhone during a television interview. While she tried to hide the iPhone under a piece of paper while the cameras were on. She said also to use an iPhone during social events in Moscow and other TV appearances against the contract's rules. So, wow. The numerous sightings led Samsung to sue her for $1.6 million for breach of contract. I didn't know people got paid to carry mobile devices. I guess she's been touted as the Paris Hilton of Russia. But it makes you go, whoa, $1.6 million? How much was she paid in the first place? That's the question. Big, 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 big money. Of course, in the news is this, are these bombs that are being mailed. And these pipe bomb devices. And lots of speculation going on who, what, where. A lot of politically charged commentary. A lot of people that are basically conspiracy theorists that are saying that it's just a ploy by some liberal. I mean, we've heard it all. And but there's a good article on The Verge talking about how authorities look for a mail bomber. And if you think about the systems that are in place today, you would think it would be very, very difficult for any piece of mail leaving any post office or being picked up from any post box to not being able to be tracked back to its source of its origin or where it came from. A lot of people were talking about there wasn't postmarks on the stamps. So again, not a lot of super real clear pictures, but they are pointing back towards actually three different states. They're looking at Florida as a primary state right now that they're looking at, and then a couple of others. But definitely some sick individual out there has... is trying to get some attention here in a very, very sick way. Now, mail that goes to the presidents under Secret Service protection, their mail actually doesn't even go directly to them. It goes to a sorting facility where they can look for devices, look for biologicals, you name it. They're scanned before they ever make it through and into a delivery queue to either the to President Obama or President Bush, any of those. That's all screened. And of course, there's other people that are under protection as well. And the Secret Service said that mail screening caught some of these. Of course, the exact logistics aren't being released, but. Since 1996, the agencies operating remote delivery sites for mail sent to the president and similar screening for our routine for protected persons outside of the White House. Now, that'd be an interesting list to see. Yeah, I'm sure that they'll never release that, but we'll see where this leads. I with mailing this many packages, they're going to find this individual. I'm almost sure of it, because there's going to be a full court press and someone's going to get their door kicked in and put on the ground, or lucky if they don't get shot or worse. So just watch the news. I almost guarantee it. You think about this. I'm almost betting that they'll have the perpetrator in hand within the next couple of days. You just don't send this many bombs in the mail and be able to come out clean. I just don't see how they can do it, but time will tell. We'll see what happens here. Western Digital's come out with a new 15 terabyte hard drive. It's the biggest one ever made. Step aside the boring 14 terabyte hard drive, and there's a new champion town. Western Digital's 15 terabyte UltraStar DCHC620. What's going to be the price? Does it say? Nope. Now, this is the biggest spinner available, but some folks are buying SSDs for data centers that are as much as 100 terabytes in a standard 5 1/4 inch drive size. So I don't even want to think about how much that would cost. 100 terabytes. That's insane. But anyway, 15 terabytes is the largest spinner that's available now. How big can they go? All right. Predictions on Black Friday. Yes, it's already time to start thinking about that. Black Friday 2018 TV deals, price predictions for the year's best TVs. And if you're eyeing that sweet OLED TV, waiting for the very best price on your favorite Sony, Samsung, Vizio, TCL, Roku TV, they've got some predictions on how much you may save. Now, they say that excluding the stuff where you line up 5 days beforehand and stand in the cold to get the one or two TVs they've got at a special price, that some of the televisions that will be marked down will go down as anywhere between $500 as low as maybe $300 on a markdown. With LG televisions and Vizio and Samsung seeing some of the biggest discounts out there. So these are some of the higher end televisions that may start around $2,000, may be available around $1,500. So I'm going to be watching these prices for Black Friday, and I hope that you will too. And if you see a deal out there for a television, Sony or Samsung, give me heads up, because I'm in the market for one more flat screen TV, a replacement for the one that's in my current bedroom. I need to update it. The Samsung that's in there now, long in the tooth. So some predictions I have linked in the show notes. The president has laid out the national 5G strategy. He wants the U.S. to be a leader in 5G going forward. He signed a memorandum today that described his administration's push for a national spectrum strategy, one that it says should help promote spectrum access and efficiency. In his memo, the president noted the ever-growing importance of adequate wireless communications, as well as desire for the U.S. to be a leader in 5G deployment. So the president called for government agencies to notify the Secretary of Commerce about their future spectrum requirements and directed the Office of Science and Technology to submit a report on emerging technologies and how they might impact spectrum demand. Additionally, the memo instructs the Secretary of Commerce to report on the status of existing efforts and upcoming spectrum repurposing plans, as well as legislative, regulatory, and policy recommendations on how to increase spectrum access. And lastly, the presidential memo called for a spectrum strategy task force that will be co-chaired by the Chief Technology Officer and the Director of the National Economic Council. So 5G. Now, AT&T today made an announcement where they told their investors it's rolling out 5G in 12 cities within the next few weeks. Now, check this out. Dallas, Texas, Houston, Texas, San Antonio, Texas, Waco, Texas. You get the feeling that they're heavy in Texas. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, New Orleans, Louisville, Indianapolis, Atlanta, Charlotte, North Carolina, Raleigh, North Carolina, Jacksonville, Florida. The slides also show an additional 7 markets that will see 5G from AT&T in early 2019. Los Angeles, San Diego, San Francisco, San Jose, Orlando, Las Vegas, Nashville. Again, big, big, big population centers, minus the rollout in Waco, which is kind of interesting. Now, even with a 5G rollout, you'll still need a 5G compatible phone to see the new speeds. And we won't see many of those until later in 2019. Until then, AT&T can keep racing to cover the network. Its users will be buying 5G phones for the next year, but the rollout won't mean much to the phone you have right now. Are you ready for Halloween? Well, check out YouTube's Halloween playlist. So they've got a list of very, very super scary type of videos and some fun stuff as well from some folks like Dr. Demento as well. So a link will be up in the show notes on that. Have a little fun. As you're getting ready to start doing some shopping as we move into the later months of the year here, online phishing sites skyrocket in the number during the past year. Fake retail websites specifically can harvest your personal information and credit card numbers, as being warned in a new report. Analyzing data from the third quarter of last year, they found a 297% increase in retail phishing sites. These phishing sites are meant to look like legitimate retailers. Retailers are increasingly focused on driving sales through a variety of online channels. So just be careful. If you're going to click on a Facebook ad, make sure you end up on the right site or go to their site directly. Of course, besides fake websites, phishing attempts also can be made with emails coming from legit websites such as PayPal, FedEx, and some things you can watch out for. Okay, so just be aware, online phishing is on the increase. Don't get sucked up. CompUSA, that's somebody we haven't talked about in a long time. CompUSA has been resurrected as a sad affiliate deal site. It's the company is acquired by Deal Central. Now, here's something I want to share with you guys. Geek News Central, in some search terms, competes with some of these sites. And if you go to a specific landing page on Geek News Central, or you are linked there, and you find product listings that I have put up that I recommend and may have a write-up on, those are usually, and I disclose on those pages whether or not they're affiliate links leaning back, or some of them are obvious, like the Amazon stuff. So just remember, if you want to help this show, you can go to some of our deal pages and it links it in the show notes. And basically, you can pick up stuff, and every time you do, it helps us a lot here. Every little bit helps, right? So Deal Central, Groupon, there's a few others that are out there. These are run by big, 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 big corporations. Try to use promo codes that you get to save money on stuff from podcasters that you love and websites that you love versus some of these big conglomerates, because they've just got big tanks of people. They're doing nothing but putting out affiliate deals, and they can search 24/7 and write stuff up and add it to the website. Always try to get these deal lock-ins from websites that you love and trust. All right. More than 185,000 people may have had payment card details stolen in a new hack attempt on the British Airways site. British Airways only discovered the breach while investigating a breach of its website in September, which at that time affected 380,000 transactions. But this is new. Information about the breach was revealed in a stock exchange announcement by IAG. It said the earlier attack took place between April 21st and July 28th. It only affected customers who had made bookings by cashing in BA loyalty program rewards. IAG has said two separate groups of customers were affected by the hack. 77,000 people have their names, addresses, email, and detailed payment information taken. 108,000 people lost personal data, part of the CVV number, for their payment cards. This is horrible. Really horrible. Now, to take it a step further, Cathay Pacific, and I don't know anybody that flies Cathay Pacific, they say that 9.4 million passenger records have been affected by a data breach. The airline said in a statement Wednesday there was no evidence that passenger data had been misused, but warned that passenger names, date of birth, nationalities, phone numbers, emails, and postal addresses, and passport identity card numbers may have been taken. Historical travel information, remarks by May customers also accessed. A little over 400 expired credit card numbers were accessed, including 27 credit card numbers without verification numbers. We keep none. When we do business at Raw Voice, it's all our credit card processor takes care of all of that. We don't keep any of that credit card. It's part of our accreditation program. None of it is kept internally on our servers. Now, you talk about these two data breaches. Now, Europe's parliament is calling for a full audit of Facebook in wake of its breach scandal. So the question is the EU going to go after Cathay Pacific and British Airways? Well, they're definitely going to go after Facebook. The European Parliament has called for a full audit of Facebook following a string of data breaches scandals, including the Cambridge Analytica affair. In the resolution adopted today, they have also recommended Facebook make additional changes to combat election interference, asserting the company has not just breached the trust of European users, but indeed EU law. And I'm going to tell you something. The EU's new tough policy on GDPR can cause companies like Facebook and others big penalties. Now, they handed a fine to Facebook for the breach by the UK data watchdog of 500,000 euros. So it's crazy. Under the prior data protection rules. So what comes next? Hold on to your checkbook, Facebook. Google Photos, if you didn't know this, has a 10,000 photo limit in its live album feature. So that's really not that many pictures today. Live albums was introduced earlier this month as a way for users to automatically add photos of a chosen pet or person to a custom album. This lets you have one album to gaze upon your cute dog or partner without needing to scroll through endless other miscellaneous photos. If you hold on to the same photo for years and accumulate them, the 10,000 photo limit doesn't seem so far away. With a year of owning my new phone, this person put 3,000 photos and organized in the live album. So just be aware of that. And I'm not too familiar with its live album feature. The Google Pixel 4 concept eliminates the poor design choices and adds a secondary camera to the main one. Again, a Google Pixel 4 concept drawing. But you can have people wishing for a whole bunch of new stuff. The imaginary phone really gets out there and really lays down some hardcore specs that would leave everyone else in the dust. So the chance of it actually happening, it's probably slim to none. But this is an article by the folks at WCCFtech.com. Over on Engadget, Hulu is saying that they've added an ABC News Live and CBSN to its live TV package. Yeah, ABC News. Woohoo! Just a station I want to, just the channel I want to watch. Nope. So there's three more news channels, ABC News Live, CBSN, and startup network Cheddar are all joining the service. Never heard of Cheddar before. And these are available on the existing $40 a month live TV plan, which includes CNN and CNBC. Ooh, another two winners. So anyway, link will be up for you to check that out. Where Equal and Balanced, Fox, is going to debut its subscription service on November 27th. So earlier this year, Fox revealed it plans to launch a prepaid or paid streaming service. It's going to cost $6 per month for those interested in paying yearly. It will be priced at $65. So, now you're going to be able to save some money if you are one of those early subscribers. You could save $5 annually. Woohoo! How many of you have been using the new Apple News app? I've seen it, haven't used it, but apparently it's pretty popular. Apple's news app has drawn 90 million regular readers. It's got human-focused curation may play a role in its growth. So, apparently they've got about 30 or so reporters that are culling data to put into the news app. Have any of you used the news app? Can you specify your preferences? Does it allow you to, you know, make any demographic, geographic, politographic type selections? Or are you force fed what they think you should be reading? And this is the problem with news today. I'm really serious here. They don't report the news. They're just entertainment shows, you know, people squawking. Where are the news shows? They're doing investigative reporting that are bringing stories, worldwide information. Just don't think it exists so much anymore. Interesting news out of Google. Google's CEO admits that the company had a sexual harassment problem, said it has fired 48 employees for sexual misconduct. One of those, a very high-ranking person within the company. 13 were senior managers and above. None of them got an exit package when they were let go. The email, which was obtained by CNBC, was in response to a bombshell New York Times story that said Google shielded a handful of company executives, including Android creator Andy Rubin, from sexual misconduct allegations and offered massive payouts to leave. Oh. Interesting. At the same time, Google or Alphabet announced its third quarter 2018 results. They said our business continues to have strong momentum globally, led by mobile search and our many products that help billions of people every day. He said Alphabet revenues were $33.7 billion, up 21% versus the third quarter of 2017, and remain focused on delivering the opportunities we see. Let's see, what was their net profit? They have 94,000 employees. They're paying an effective tax rate of 9%. Revenue, does it say profit, operating margin? Oh, net income of $9 billion. So they had a pretty good quarter, don't you think? Next up is Intel. Intel's up slightly in big earnings beat. The earnings was $1.40 per share, excluding certain items, versus $1.15 expected by analysis. Revenue of $19.16 billion versus $18.11 billion. As a disclosure, I do own Intel stock. Looking ahead, Intel forecast earnings of $1.22 per share, excluding certain items. Oh, I already said that. Sorry. It's raised its guidance for full year of earnings to $4.53 per share. Wow. Or $71.2 billion in revenue. Intel's biggest business segment, the Client Computing Group, reached $10.23 billion revenue in its second quarter, easily surpassing FactSet analyst consensus of 9.33. I'm not familiar with that. All right, so good quarter by Intel. If we look at AWS, holy cow. Amazon to AWS revenue jumped 46% in the third quarter. AWS is a $2.1 billion in operating profit, accounted for 56% of total operating earnings. Amazon Web Service generated revenue of what? Oh, They had 2.21 and 2.1 billion in profit, but they had revenue of 6.68 billion. I send, or Rob Voice sends AWS. Well, we do a money transfer to them every month. So what does it say overall for Amazon? Where's the full numbers? This is just specifically about AWS. Didn't talk about Amazon as a whole, but it sounds like their AWS branch had a pretty good quarter. Twitter, on the other hand, well, stock soared after strong earnings beat. Twitter beat estimates on earnings for third quarter. Revenue $758 million versus $702 million expected. Estimated monthly active users was 326 versus 330 million projected. And what else? They don't say what their, if there was a net. Obviously, if they showed 21 cents adjusted, that means they had a profit. So anyway, so Twitter had a good quarter. And that's what was part of the reason for the 400-point recovery in the stock market today after the beating. It's been taken all week. How many of you have ever, we're going to get off earnings calls here and talk a little bit about Google's map, specifically folks that do local guide reviews. Well, they're highlighting a dude that does reviews on onion rings on Google Maps. Scroll through Tyler Grondell's profile on Google Maps. I didn't even know you could do that. And you immediately notice one thing, the guy is really passionate about onion rings. He's written 47 detailed reviews about them at places across the U.S. with his onion ring standard. So anyway, this is just in time for National Greasy Food Day. Has anyone done any local guides on Google? You're not getting paid, right? So why would you do that? That is the question. A little bit of mobile news. Palm is introducing a tiny Android phone. It's launching on November 2nd. The reboot of Palm is happening. And this device will be on Verizon. And it's just a tiny, itsy-bitsy little phone. Again, it fits in your palm. It has the specs of a low-end phone and runs Android Oreo. So, the device is meant to be a supplementary to primary smartphone. Why would anyone do that? Offering a smaller, simple alternative that you can take with you if you want to be less distracted. Oh, okay. So basically as an extension. It's kind of like having an Apple Watch on your wrist. I wonder if it's going to be priced as such. All right. AT&T is talking about their streaming Android device entering beta testing, and they've been working on a streaming box for DirecTV Now service. And the company has said that this device does exist, and it's confirmed during recent quarter earnings that the streaming box will be powered by Android TV, and that it has entered beta testing, and they're going to release the device in the first half of next year. For those of you who use DirecTV and are AT&T customers, you'll be excited about this. A couple of last articles tonight. There's a great article about Netflix and some interviews with people that have left the company. And it's kind of an interesting read. It gives you a little insight into how they fire, radical transparency, and a whole bunch of other cool little things. So an insight into Netflix. And so a very, very good read here. Final article of the night. The folks at Breaker Mag, I've never seen this site before. They did a little experiment. They went around and asked crypto news outlets if they'd take money to cover a project. More than half said yes and would basically took the money, posted the article, did not disclose that it was a paid advertisement. You know, I get requests all the time, daily, Geek News Central, will you take a paid post? I could probably fund this enterprise, if I said, sure, we'll take a paid post, you can pay me $100, there would be so much junk and crap and caca on Geek News Central. I literally could be a nothing more of a site than that took a pay-to-play post. I get these requests every single day. I have a standard. Matter of fact, I've got it built into a function key. I get so many emails that I point them at the advertising page. None of them have ever said, oh, we'll buy advertising on your site. But they want to do a paid post that links back to a website. Because I tell them, oh yeah, we'll take a paid post. We'll disclose. We'll stop. My daughter just did an aggressive text I just saw come across to her mother. I'm sure there'll be words tonight. Anyway, I'll say, if you want a post on Geek News Central, we will disclose it's a paid post. There will be no follow links applied to any hyperlink extending on the website. And it will bracket it so that people know that this is a paid post. And you put all these stipulations in. And of course, they don't want that. As soon as you tell them we'll put a no follow link on a hyperlink, they go away. Or you send them to the advertising page, they go away. To date, we have never taken a paid post for Geek News Central. But according to this website, crypto news outlets are not so picky and they'll take the cash. This shows you that what you're reading sometimes cannot be trusted. And if you think about that for a second, and know that what you see in Geek News Central is real, opinionated content from my writing team, reporting on news and events and applying their thought process to it. I pay my writers to write those blog posts. I don't edit, I don't tell them what to write. I point them in the right direction to look at things. But this is the value you get by supporting this site at Geek News Central, at geeknewscentral.com, becoming an insider. What we post on the website is real. It's not paid to post. It's not pay to play. We disclose everything. So as I'm wrapping up the show here tonight, if I'm bringing value to you in this content and what we've put on the website, I encourage you to come over to the website and make a contribution, whether it be a one-time donation to the website or to the this podcast, or if you go on the annual subscription where you're paying a monthly reoccurring at $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25. We've had some increases in the folks doing that. I definitely appreciate it when you do. That just gets us a little bit further down the road. I would have thought by this time in the process, we would have been much, much bigger. I know that we've had suggestions by Ohana members to go to micropayments. But I guess I'll raise the question again to you. If we allowed you to make a micropayment on the webpage where you could contribute a quarter or 50 cents or a dollar, if you got information from a blog post or from a podcast episode, would you do that? I'm not 100% sure that you would, but those of you that have been here with me for a long time that appreciate the content that are contributing to the Insider Fund, you know, God bless you. Thank you so much for helping the show. And for everyone else that isn't, just please consider doing so. Even though we have a sponsor of the show, there's a lot more we could do. And because what's found remarkable is that if every listener of this show just contributed $2 a month, wow, what we could really do. So anyway, that's it. That's my beg. And I want to thank everyone for being here and being part of the Ohana and listening to the show and staying subscribed. It has been my pleasure to bring you the show. Let me see. Did I have an email? I did have one that came in. And bada bing, bada boom, wrong email box. Let me see here. Is this the right one? Here we go. I had an email come in from Near. He said, hey, Todd, in one of your recent podcasts, maybe a week ago, you mentioned a Bluetooth aux adapter for cars without a built-in Bluetooth. I looked through some of the show notes and couldn't find it. If you had it, it would be most appreciated. Near, I'm be honest with you, I don't. I'll try to find it. I'm not sure. Was it the Amazon one? I'll try to find it. Okay, but I don't. Off the top of my head, I don't remember. Maybe Kirk remembers that one. If we did, we'll try to get it to you. Also, I want to. Andy sent me an email. Said, "Hey Todd, which drone?" Andy, DJI. I love the DJI Mavics or the Air. DJI drones I've had great luck with. They're robust. They're easy to fly. They come home if the signal gets interrupted. I'm a real fan of the DJI drones out there. So that would and you know if budget's not an issue, definitely take a look at their website. Andy, you know, if you're in Shanghai, you might be able to get, because the DJI is in China, so you might be able to get it delivered directly to you in Shanghai. But if you're down in New Orleans, obviously they'll ship to you there as well. And they've got some new ones out there as well. But yeah, the Mavics are fantastic. The Mavic Pro is the one that is top notch. Okay, so we're at the end here. Thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed. Geeknews@gmail.com for your commentary. Don't know why we dropped off Facebook today, but sometimes the stream just doesn't 100% cooperate. I think it was bandwidth on my end. But I definitely appreciate all of you from being here. Thanks for staying subscribed. Thanks for being part of the HANA. I'll be back with you on Monday for another show. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.